Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at aloramodernwellness.com. We go back to the Farm Bureau guest line. Check out favorites.com and go with the home team. Greg McElroy, ESPN, SEC Network, Mac and Cube in the mornings. Great looking guy. Just a fantastic human being. We love him here on the show. Greg, thanks for joining me, man, especially with all the headache we had putting this together. I want to talk about quarterbacks, which is something I obviously you'll know a lot about. Our friend Andy Staples put out a top 10 quarterbacks in college football recently, and I was taking a look at it. He has DJ Lagway and Lenore Sellers 1-2 in college football for this upcoming season. I like those guys. I think they have a lot of potential, but that's – I couldn't quite wrap my head around them being the top two guys in this sport this year. What do you say?
I think that's way too high. I got tons of faith in their projections. And if that's what he's basing it off of, if it's purely projections and, hey, these guys are, we think at season's end, have a chance to be 1-2, I'm totally support that. But to an extent, you have to also account for what's been done. And while I got ton of respect for DJ Lagway, there were great moments last year. There were highlight moments last year. There were also moments that left you thinking, you know, that's kind of a freshman mistake. And you also have to kind of chalk that up to the fact that he never got first team reps. He was splitting time at least early in the season with Graham Mertz, and Graham Mertz, frankly, was probably going 75-25 with the amount of reps he was getting to DJ Lagway's reps. But once he kind of got going down the stretch, there was a belief and there was the kind of the magical play that he would make regularly, but they also threw it into traffic a few too many times for my comfort level, and the numbers reflect that. On the other side, Lenore Sellers, it's kind of hard to push back because he did some magical things last year with a less than stellar supporting cast as far as his weaponry is concerned. He was kind of a one-man show, and it doesn't mean he can't replicate that. He can. But I think there is a possibility for a slight regression in the sense that now people are going to be able to kind of game plan against him. I think he caught some people by surprise last year and did some miraculous things. But if his supporting cast can improve, and I think they can, then he's got a chance for a big bump. So it's kind of dependent. I think Lenoris is really more dependent on what it looks like around him. Whereas DJ, I think he is going to be in a pretty good position. But right now, to have them 1-2 in college football, I think that's just way too high.
The two most experienced guys, the production guys in the conference, are Nussmeier at LSU and John Mateer at Oklahoma. If you asked me to rank the top two quarterbacks in this conference going into the year, that's probably who I would put 1 and 2. What do you think about those two guys?
Yeah, those would be the two I'd have at the top right now in the SEC. Now, obviously, there's a lot of people that want to kind of get on board the Arch Manning train. Like I'm still in kind of see it to believe it mode. Doesn't mean he won't be there, but based on his measurables, based on his pedigree, based on the glimpses on tape last year, I'm optimistic about his projection. But I can't necessarily include him. We've already kind of gone through the Lagway and what I think of Lenore Sellers. So if I'm going just down in, down out production, it'd be hard for me not to start with Mateer at 1 and then Nussmeier at 2. Now, start with Mateer. I think the challenge that people are having right now is how will he do against increased levels of competition? I think that's perfectly fair, but the same questions were asked last year of Cam Ward prior to arriving at Miami, and we see with his supporting cast improving, we see just how much better he became. And in that offense, how much better he became. So I think we've already got a precedent of a guy coming from that system and then immediately having success at the Power Five. So I feel very comfortable assuming that John Mateer's progress will actually increase. And last year, he relied so much on his legs.
I don't think he's going to have to do as much of that this year because he's got really good weapons at wide receiver. And he's got Jaden Ott at running back, so they're not going to need him to use his legs as often as he had to use them there at Washington State. I also, not knowing their depth, I don't think it'd be wise to subject him to unnecessary contact if you have other guys that kind of lighten that load. On the other side with Nussmeier, I think there's a lot of growth that can be had, but it's just not growth that I think is overly concerning. Two things I wanted to do better this year. One, take off and run. The guy ran like 17 times last year. He views quarterback scramble as kind of a sign of weakness, whereas with the way the game's evolved, quarterback scramble, especially on third down, six, seven situations, it's a necessary thing to have in your game. You don't necessarily have to be running quarterback power to be a very effective runner. He almost never took off last year. And if he can, by the way, he has that athleticism. If he took off a little more often, that would be a whole heck of a lot better for his offense and his offensive line because you can't just pin your ears back and rush the passer if the quarterback's a threat to take off up the middle. So I want to do that better. And then two, I feel like there are times where he wants to kind of show off his arm, and I respect that and appreciate that. But there are times when you need to do that, and there are times when you need to resist that urge. I think there were times last year in which he let the environment and the situation in the game dictate some of his pre-snap and post-snap decision making. So I think if he can do those two things a little bit better, and that comes a little bit with maturity, that comes a little bit with, hey, I've already proven a lot, I don't have to continue to prove, then I think he'll be in a really good spot. So those would be my top two coming into the season with some things to work on, but not as many things to work on as Lagway, Lenoris, and the guys that are still in prove it mode to me, like Arch Manning, Ty Simpson, Jackson Arnold, et cetera.
So you mentioned Simpson there, and obviously I want to talk to you about Alabama. There's a lot of teams in the conference this year that are going to have high hopes that have inexperienced quarterbacks. Texas, Alabama, Georgia is another
Yeah.
one. What's Ty Simpson is probably going to be the guy at Alabama. I don't see a scenario where he doesn't win that job. What's the ceiling on this guy in this Kalen DeBoer offense?
Well, I do think that there is. I agree with you in saying that I'd be surprised if he wasn't the starter. I do think there's a window for one of the other two guys, whether it's Austin Mack or Keelan Russell, to go and secure that job. I do think if Ty doesn't get it, it's probably more on his inability to just go and take it. I think in a perfect world for Alabama this year, Ty goes and takes the starting job. They mix in every once in a while when the opportunity presents itself, some of the young guys, and just see how they fare. I think going with the young quarterback's challenging. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care how talented he is. He might be the most talented guy on planet Earth, but a freshman quarterback's going to make freshman mistakes, and Alabama's expectations are to compete for the national championship every year. It's hard to do that with a true freshman quarterback unless the supporting cast is just so phenomenal that they can overcome what mistakes and limitations the true freshman might have. And we saw Alabama do that in 2016 with Jalen Hurts. I mean, the team around Jalen Hurts, go look at the roster, is significantly more talented than the team that will take the field for the Tide this year in 25. So I'd be more comfortable with Keelan Russell in that situation if he had that type of supporting cast, but he doesn't. So I think the veteran play is the safer of the two. As far as Ty Simpson, I think he's got a lot of ability. I think a big thing with him is more confidence. I think believing that you can do it, trusting that you can do it, and kind of developing that, I don't want to say that arrogance, but that swagger that's needed to play quarterback in the SEC at a high level. Like to be the quarterback in the SEC, you have to believe that you are the man. Now, people will say, well, you're arrogant, you're cocky. No. You just have to have an innate belief in yourself and your ability to lead. And I do think that that's been the one thing missing with Ty Simpson. It's never been about the skill set. It's never been about the talent. I think it's about the belief in oneself that the guys will follow me, belief in oneself that I am going to make the right decision. Because 2 years ago, he was the most talented guy in the mix. I was told by people close to the program that he was likely going to be the guy, but he just couldn't go out there and win it. And as a result, the competition lingered and lingered and lingered, and the natural God-given talent that Jalen Milroe had eventually overtook Ty Simpson because even though Jalen Milroe was inconsistent, you always had that threat of him taking off and going 70 yards on the ground for a touchdown. So his big play ability outweighed what would be the game management that Ty would be able to employ. So I'm really confident in his skill set. Now it's, I think, just the belief. And I think that will come with reps and that will come with great play in fall camp. And I'm hoping that Alabama gets that. And I'm hoping that for Ty, that he can do that as well.
Just a couple of minutes left, Greg. Let's talk about the quarterbacks here in this state, Austin Simmons and Blake Shapen. We'll start in Oxford. We got a taste of Austin Simmons under the most incredible pressure a freshman quarterback could have been thrown into. And he looked really good in that one drive against Georgia. Is that sustainable? Is that the talent level for that young man?
So, I had a coach tell me last year that, look, Jackson's amazing and he's a great college player. And now he's been drafted really high, and I hope the best for him in the NFL. I think he's in a good situation with Brian Daboll, who knows how to kind of develop that young quarterback that might lean a little more on his athleticism early and then develop kind of the other traits that are necessary to become a franchise guy. But Austin scared people last year. Like, they were concerned about him being thrust into the game because he can do things physically with his arm and fit the ball into windows that Jackson could not regularly fit the ball into. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be a better player than Jackson. That I think people they misconstrue things like this. Talent is not necessarily mean production. There's a very big difference there. Like, one of the most talented quarterbacks we've seen the last 5 or 6 years in the SEC was Joe Milton. He was a very average college player, but he was very, very, very talented. So that fear of him being able to hit that 75-yard bomb downfield was always there for opposing coaches that would face off against him. Another guy that always scared the heck out of people was Anthony Schwartz at Auburn. He was a wide receiver, very average wide receiver,
I
frankly,
remember him, yeah.
but he ran 4.2, so everybody was scared to death of the guy all the time. So it's like, this guy could run past us at any point, so we got to have a guy way over the top of him, because if he gets past us, that's one play in a game that might snap the ball 80 times, and that one play might make the difference. So people were scared of Austin Simmons last year because of just how gifted he was throwing the football and how natural the release was, and how quickly he could get it out, and how he could fit it into windows that are uncoverable. You could have perfect coverage and it wouldn't matter because he could fit it in a place where you cannot defend. I'm really bullish on him. Now, I'm also super bullish on their wide receiver core, because much has been made about the departures. I think there has not been enough made of the additions. I think DeShon Stribling is a really good player. I think Caden Lee in the slot is excellent. He proved that last year. I think you got two tight ends that can be real big difference makers. And Trey Wallace, who transferred down from Penn State, he was painfully underutilized at times last year because they were so oriented towards trying to get the ball to their tight end, Tyler Warren. Who can blame them? But as a result, people kind of forgot what Trey Wallace is capable of doing. So I'm really, really bullish on their passing attack. But the same things with Ole Miss always remain. Can they protect? And if they have to run the ball, in a situation in which you are expecting them to run the ball, if the defense knows you're running it on 4th and 1, can you run the ball and get that first down? Because if you look at their shortcomings last year, whether it was against Kentucky, against Florida, against LSU, it was their inability to sustain drives because they went for it on 4th down and they couldn't pick up the short yardage situation. That is the key. So I'm not worried about quarterback at Ole Miss. I'm not worried about wide receiver. I am worried about their offensive line being able to pick up the tough yardage, because if they can't, then the same things that plagued them last year might plague them again this year.
And then with Shapen, I've been making the joke recently. He just changed his last name to Blake Shapen if he stays healthy, because that's the concern with him. He hasn't played that full season yet. If he can get 12 games out of Blake Shapen, what can he be and what can Mississippi State be?
I think he'd be great. I mean, he was great at times at Baylor. I mean, if you listen to what Coach Levy said all last offseason, privately and publicly, it's like, look, man, we got a lot of concerns, but I can tell you one thing that we're not concerned about is our quarterback. That guy can go. I'll take his word for it. You know what I mean? And I do think that there are some challenges, though, when you are coming back from injury, as someone that played in the NFL and had injuries in each of my first 3 years in the league. Sometimes there is that fear of getting hurt when you've been hurt before. And that mental psychological aspect of being able to play and avoid that injury is challenging. So I hate that he's had the tough hands that he's been dealt up to this point, but he's got to stay healthy. And if that means getting rid of the ball a little faster, great. If that means not taking a hit or making sure that you're prepared to take that hit when it's coming, do it. If it requires you taking a sack as opposed to trying to get rid of it right before the guy arrives so that you don't land awkwardly on your shoulder or on your head or on your back or whatever it may be, you got to do that. He's got to be really, really smart. Because he does have that history. Now, it's an impossible thing because it's also something you never want to talk about. You never want to say, "Oh yeah, you avoid injury." Like you never say that. It's like when you're playing golf. It's like, "Don't hit it in the water." Well, where are you going to look? You know what I mean? It's like it's an unfortunate. It's like if the water's on the left, hey, don't hit it in the water. Well, I'm going to blow it out of bounds right. You know what I mean? I think that's part of the challenge. It's like the one thing that you never want to talk about and you never want to address, but it's the real part of the story with Blake Chapin. If he can stay healthy, they're going to be a handful on offense, just like they always are. But if he can't stay healthy, then that remains questionable. Now, the good news is they do have an insurance policy in Kromenhoek, who gave you some good reps at Florida State last year, so that's beneficial. And they obviously did a good job last year under the circumstances, having lost their guy and then next guy in, they were still pretty good on offense. So if we're losing sleep right now, as a Mississippi State fan, I wouldn't lose as much sleep about the offense as I would about the defense because there's a big overhaul on that side of the ball. There's optimism abound, but going from 126th to 85th might win you one more game, but that's not the goal for Jeff Lebby. Going from 126 to 55 probably wins you three more games. That's the goal, right? So I think a massive and seismic improvement on that side of the ball will also not force your quarterback to potentially be in harm's way because you're in obvious passing situation. So I know that's look, the whole team, I think a college football team is a scale. And like I'm talking like the old school scales, like when you walk into a federal building and you look at the scale that's on the wall because you're going into the courthouse. Like to me, that's a team. Defense on one side, offense on the other. Well, if the defense is really, really light and the offense is weighed down, then there's going to be a whole lot more of a burden on the offense and the potential for risk and the potential for injury and all those other things if the defense doesn't hold up their end of the bargain. But if the defense improves, then you're not going to be subjected to potentially putting your quarterback in harm's way because you're not dropping back all the time. He's not running around for his life all the time trying to make a play because he has to erase a 17-point deficit. So I think there's a lot of things in play, but the big thing that I would be focused on would be trying to improve that defense drastically. And if you can, I think Mississippi State's got a chance to be a real spoiler at times this year.
You're preaching to the choir on that last little bit there. I'll just go and let you know. I knew all that stuff. I've been saying it for months. One last thing before I let you go. What is that maroon piece of memorabilia off to the side there? What is that?
Well, I have a couple pieces of memorabilia. I have a bomber jacket with all types of Alabama paraphernalia that
That
someone
is
made me when
maroon.
we.
That is not crimson.
It does look maroon, but the most important thing that you need to focus on, hey Dad, is this old Waverly
Yeah.
member guest flight winner.
Very
You
good.
need to recognize that.
I will
That poor
pass that
man.
information along to Richard Cross and let him know that you've dominated that course.
That is Old Waverly Golf Club member guest flight champion 2021.
Very nice.
I was able to take my buddy down there from Charlotte. He'd never been to Mississippi. And we by the time we took a bus down there because there were about eight of us, we took a bus down there and had a couple pops on the ride.
Yes.
And from the time he landed at Birmingham to the time he arrived at Old Waverly, which is what, 2 to 2.5 hours at
Come on,
most,
that,
he might have had 17 drinks. So he played out of his mind. But he said, look, he wanted to give it all he had in his first trip to Mississippi, and he left no stone unturned, and we had a great time, and it resulted in victory. So what more can you ask for? We didn't
That's
win the
all.
whole thing, but we did win our flight.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Greg McElroy, always appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on, and we'll see you at SEC Media Days in about a month.
All right, buddy, look forward to it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.